sinner holy. Come wash me clean till every part of me is yours, Lord, and yours only. It's been so long since I felt Jesus. Just once again, I long to feel His presence.
I'm glad I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. Again,
my soul was hungry.
My soul was hungry, and it's feeding
me. I've been washed
in the blood of the Lamb.
How oft I cried when far away from you my heart would catch a glimpse of Calvary, remembering nights down on my knees in prayer I cried, Lord, here I am, please use me. A fool was I to ever leave you. Please take me now, God, I know I need you.
I'm glad I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've had a cleansing from the fountain.
My soul was hungry.
My soul was hungry, and it's
been I've been washed
in the blood of the Lamb. I'm glad I'm
washed
in the blood of the Lamb.
Oh, be washed
in the blood of the Lamb.
Yes, be washed
in the blood of the Lamb. I'm glad I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm glad I'm cleansed from the fountain.
Amen. I don't know about you, but I am so glad that I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And I'm glad to know that Jesus was willing to leave all of everything and come down to nothing and die for a nobody like me. Hanging on the cross, He looked down through the ages of time and said, there's going to be a young man that's going to stand in need of a Savior. It's going to be a young lady that's going to stand in need of a Savior. Maybe an old man or an old lady that's going to stand in need of a Savior. It doesn't matter how old or how young we are. Once we reach that age and that time of realizing that we stand in need of something that this old world just cannot give us. And His name is Jesus. Amen. I'll tell you what, I want the choir, and then I'm going to get you to join in with us this morning. Do you know that there's nothing but the blood of Jesus that can cleanse us and save us from our sin? I want you to sing with me when we get around on the chorus, choir. Listen now. What can wash away my sin?
Nothing but the blood.
What can make me whole again?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Sing it, church, you know it.
Oh, precious is the flow.
Listen to this verse. This is all my hope and peace.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
This is all my righteousness. Church. Oh, precious is the this morning for the blood of Jesus.
When I first began to walk with the Lord, I did not really trust Him. How He longed for me to understand that I could. So through the valleys He led me, afraid as I could be, till I felt His loving arms embracing. And why would I ever doubt a God whose hands hold the universe? And why would I ever question His abilities? There's no place that I can go where He does not know the things that trouble me. He's always aware of where I am and just what I need. Yes, I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need.
I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me. Church, stand with me this morning. And I want you to sing that. But I want you to sing it like you truly believe it, that He is all that you need. Here we go.
He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He's all.
Here's why. 'Cause I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me. Go ahead, Miss Glenda.
I just want to say I'm so thankful that the Lord's always been there for everything I've needed. There's been times when I didn't think I could go on to the next day or even the next minute or hour.
Bless you.
And I know most of you know we lost our precious Stephen almost 20 and a half years ago. And at that moment I said, I can't do this. But you know what I did? Only because of the Lord. I told Brother Justin this the other night. It was the hardest day of my life. And I know that we had to do all the things, you know, you got to go to the funeral home, you got to do all that. It's a hard road to go. When you think about you putting your child in the ground. But we made it through that day. I got home that night, and when we went to bed, felt the greatest sense of peace come over me that I think I have ever felt in my life. I didn't understand it because I thought, how can I feel this way? But I just remember I just started praying out loud, thanking God that He loaned me my precious, our precious boy. 29 years. Wasn't long enough. Would have never been long enough. But I'm so thankful that God was right there holding me tight, along with my precious husband, who I couldn't have got through without it. And I just thanked Him. And I thanked Him for knowing where Tim was, because He had assured me He was saved. And I have that assurance, you know, I'll see Him again. And there's been so many other things. I don't want to go on and on, but I'm thankful for my church, who I couldn't have done it without. And I just want to give Him praise this morning, because He deserves all the praise.
Thank you.
God's people said, amen. The Lord is all we truly need this morning. We're going to receive the Sunday morning offering. We're going to make announcements after the service on our way out the door. And I want to keep things flowing. So you glad you're here this morning? Say amen. All right. Well, let's bless. Give a prayer over this offering. The Lord will bless it and see what else he has for us this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. Bless this offering. Lord, let it be used for the ongoing ministry here at the church and on foreign fields. God, let us give to you the first fruits of all of our income, our increase. Dear Jesus, you're so very worthy of it. You gave the jobs that we have, our sources of income, and God, we honor you with that this morning. And so, Father, I pray that you would just continue to move in the service this morning, and I pray if there's one here that's lost that doesn't know you personally as Savior, that today will be the day of salvation for them. And for all others who may be saved, I pray that they will be encouraged, challenged, and changed to walk more closely with you today. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Forgot my hanky at home, and that's okay, Brother Harold. That's okay. Thank you. I want to say thank you, but I know. I'm sure. Hankies are personal. Thank you, Brother Harold. I appreciate that. And good to be here this morning. We're just trying to do things a little different. Let the Lord have his will and have his way in our services. And again, it's just so good to be here. Appreciate each and every person. We will mention this at the end of the service as far as announcements and all. But I do want to say thank you to all those who showed up to help and with the movie last night. Brother Dakota and Sister Brooke and kids even who helped out with that. Thank you. And all other helping hands, we appreciate you so very much. And it was a success, we believe. And what a blessing it was. And Brother Jeff, as the great soul winner that he is, he went over to the skate park and he brought about a dozen skaters back here. And and so that was a blessing seeing them. And appreciate Brother Jeff and his desire to share the gospel, invite people to church. And so we appreciate that. It was a good time. And also, let me just say this before we get into the message this morning. Brother Bobby McClendon had a great visit at Piedmont the other day on Friday morning. They went in to do a heart cath and did not have to leave any stents, did not have to do anything, no medicine, nothing like that. So let's give a round of applause for the Lord. So that's the blessing for sure, but let's pray that Brother Bobby, the symptoms, whatever he's feeling, will subside along with that good report. And we know the Lord touched him, no doubt, and he'll continue to touch. And but anyway, we'll save the rest for later. But if you have your Bibles, please take your Bibles and make your way to Genesis 25. Genesis 25. We're going to be reading out of verse number 19 down through 26. Genesis 25, verse number 19 down to verse number 26. I want to share something with you this morning that I hope will be a help, a blessing. One of the hardest things to do in preparing sermons, in my estimation, is knowing which direction to go. And so I'm sure I have God's direction this morning, so you just pray for me that I get out of the way and let the Lord deliver the message. Let's pray, and then I want to read verse number 19 down to 26. Father, I come to you one more time in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for the spirit of worship here this morning. Hands were raised, voices were lifted. There was liberty, there was freedom. We're thankful for that. But God, we do pray that you would move upon us during the preaching time, the teaching time, the speaking time. God, I pray for a clear head and a calm heart. Lord, help me wait on you as I preach. Lord, I don't want to put the cart before the horse. I want to say the things you want me to say, go the places you want me to go. Definitely don't want to say anything that would hinder the gospel this morning or someone from receiving what they need. So take me out of the way. Father, I love you. I thank you. I praise you this morning. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. Genesis chapter number 25. Verse number 19, the Bible says, "And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, of Padanaram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her. She said, 'If it be so, why am I thus?' She went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, 'Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like an hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. After that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them." I want to stop reading there. We could certainly continue on just reading through this story, this account given of Jacob and Esau. But we're going to stop there because I want us to focus this morning on the birth of the boys. The birth of the boys. In fact, that's my title, is The Birth of the Boys. Now, this birth of these boys, we know that Jacob was the promised seed. But we know Rebekah had twins. She had two boys. And no doubt before this ultimate promise would be fulfilled and go on, and Jacob would be the man that he would ultimately be, there was a struggle during this labor process. In fact, there was a struggle getting up and leading up to the actual conception of the child, which we know the children, there's two of them. And so this morning, I want us to look at the fact that there was these boys that were coming. There was one that was the promised seed. But yet, there were some things that had to take place first. There was a process before Jacob came. and Esau came. There was this long, drawn-out process. Now, this morning, what I want to eventually get at is that God does have purposes for our lives. Many times there's a primary purpose, but also many other times there's many purposes under that primary purpose. And so the process, there's a process that we have to go through before we can get there. And that's what I want to try to look at this morning with the help of the Lord, is the birth of these boys, but the process of getting there. The process before Jacob was actually born, Esau was actually born. Number one this morning, I want you to notice that we see Isaac's interceding. Isaac's interceding, verse number 21. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. So we have Isaac, the husband. He is interceding there. He is entreating the Lord on the behalf of his wife. Another word for entreated is interceding. He was literally interceding for his wife. Isaac was asking God for this promised seed. Isaac was asking God to honor the promise that he made. And so he was literally entreating the Lord on his wife's behalf. Lord, would you please do this? God, you promised that you would. Lord, you promised my dad, and I eventually came. And so, Father, we know that it's through my seed that all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And so he wanted that blessing. He was asking God for that blessing. He was interceding for his wife. Now, I want you to notice back in verse number 20 that Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife. So he was a 40-year-old newly married man. Nothing wrong with that. Hey, get married when you can. But nonetheless, he was 40. And we read down in verse number 26, that latter part, that latter phrase, it says, and Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. We know that ultimately Isaac was 60 when the kids came. And so from the age 40 to 60 is 20 years. My question I'm proposing this morning is, why did God wait 20 years to fulfill that promise? Why did he wait that long? You know, all of us, I'm sure, have waited on God at times and we have wondered. Lord, you know that we have this desire in our heart for this, for that. God, it's not coming to fruition. We are convinced that it's your will. But why, Lord? Why are we having to wait? When you go back and you look through the pages of God's Word, you'll find out that many ladies that wanted kids were barren for a long time. Of course, we think of Abraham, Isaac's dad, and how that he was promised, and Sarah was promised, and how they got ahead of God because of the waiting process. They got ahead of the Lord. And we know that Hagar the handmaid was thrown into it, and Ishmael came, and there was complication from that. And so that was a problem with Abraham, and then eventually Isaac came. We can look again down through the pages of God's Word in other places. You have ladies like the woman Hannah, who wanted a man child, and yet she saw Peninnah, and and Elkanah, and they had kids and all of this, and but yet we know that Hannah couldn't have kids, and she begged of the Lord. She wanted a man child. There was a time frame. There was a process where she struggled, you see. But even in the New Testament, we look at Elizabeth, and Elizabeth wanted a child, and we know the account there that eventually she was pregnant, and she said his name is going to be called John. And so as we take a step back and we look all through Scripture, there is this something about those who want the blessing that have to wait, and there's others that don't necessarily want a blessing such as that, and it seems like it comes naturally and easy. You ever been there before where you're waiting and you're praying about something and you want it so bad, and you see others who are not even praying about it? They make no inclination that they're praying about it. They couldn't care less, yet the blessings of God are rolling in and rolling in. And then you have the other set over here that is begging God and praying God and wanting something to happen, yet it's stalling. There's just something about that in the Word of God and in life that rings true today. I tell you why I think that God waited for 20 years to bring his promise to pass. Number one, I think it was an old-fashioned trial of patience. I mean, it was an old-fashioned biblical trial of patience. If you think about Abraham, God brought Isaac, but then God requested of Isaac, "Isaac, I want you to sacrifice your son. You want me to sacrifice my son? I've been praying for a son. I made a mistake and got ahead of you, and I made some bad choices, and now I finally did this, Lord, and waited on you, and you brought me a son, and now you're wanting me to present him a sacrifice." Seemingly, God was contradictory in what he was doing. You see, but there came a point in time where Abraham had to say, "Lord, I trust you. I know it's going to be through Isaac. All the nations of the earth will be blessed. And Father, if in the New Testament talks about it, I will lay him down. And I just believe, Lord, even if I do sacrifice him, you will raise him up in order to keep your promise." So there was a time of testing and trial, and we know God provided a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. There was a substitute there, and we can go on and on. And so listen, it is no different for Isaac and Rebekah here. An old-fashioned trial of patience. You and I are going to go through times where we're going to be tested and tried, and it may span out over days and weeks and months and maybe even years. But you see, if God has promised to do something, he is good at his word. He will do it. We have a book that is full of the promises of God. And this book is a book of principles. And if we do this, God will do that. And if we stay away from this, things that can hurt us or cause something bad in our spiritual life or lives in general, stay away from that. If you follow God, God will bless here. He will use you. He will use me. Those kind of things. But yet there is this time of testing and time of trial. Are you going through that time right now? Are you going through a time where you feel like God has put something on your heart, yet it is not coming to pass? We see here that Isaac, he was interceding. He was interceding. Not only, I believe, he was interceding and God waited 20 years to bring this to pass, this child, this promised seed. It was a trial of patience. But I believe this, number two, God waited 20 years because, this is what I believe, God wanted Isaac to want it. Just stay with me. God wanted Isaac to want it. Why else would we have in the Scriptures here that 20 years had passed, and then we see an urgency here out of Isaac? And then we see 9 months later, not just one baby, but two, the birth of the boys. I don't know if Isaac felt entitled. Well, there's nothing I have to do with this. You know, my daddy was Abraham, and, you know, it was promised to him that the seed would come, and I'm part of that plan, and it's just going to happen. It's just going to happen. I don't know. This is my speculation. I think that they both have heard that they would give a bear a promised seed, and they got married, and the years passed by, and nothing happened. And maybe it almost looked like it was getting to be at a hopeless place. Did you know this morning that things start happening when we get desperate? When we get to a place in our life where we're done playing, we don't feel entitled anymore, we just want God to move and God to work. Sometimes God drives us to a desperate place. And I feel like this morning, as I look at this story, that we have Isaac here, and Isaac was desperate. His wife wanted a baby. I mean, it was even, it was taken that, you know, in those days, Bible days, a woman was barren, then she was not worth anything, or she was, you know, what's wrong with her? She don't have no child. Her seed ain't living on. There's many reasons. I mean, he saw his wife upset, I'm sure. He saw his wife wanting this child. No doubt he wanted this child, and no doubt the community has been watching. No child, no child. Where is your God? So I believe he got desperate. This morning, if we want to see God work, we've got to get desperate. Listen, no doubt God has a purpose and plan for my life. God has a purpose and plan for your life. And God may open up doors of opportunity, but if we're not responsible and we do not want it, and we feel entitled that those doors are opening because somehow we feel like we deserved it, we're going to miss God. We're going to miss Him. And so God wants to do great and mighty things, but let us want what God wants this morning. Do you want what God wants for your home? Do you want what God wants for your church? Do you want what God wants for your community? Do you want what God wants for your grandkids, your great-grandkids? Do you want what God wants? So if I could mention it like that I feel like God waited this amount of time because he wanted Isaac to want it, I feel like that's not a bad thought to chase, because it's indicative here that after all of those years, Isaac finally began to call on the Lord. Look at verse number 21 again. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And we know the kids came three score years old when Isaac was 60 years old. So 20 years had passed by. Number one, we see Isaac's interceding. But then I want you to notice Rebekah's pleading. Rebekah pleaded as well. Verse number 22. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. Rebekah's pleading when it comes to the birth of the boys. Rebekah, she had a very painful pregnancy. Notice the words here, struggled. And the children struggled together within her. The word struggle here, it means pain or painful. It also means, one writer says, to crack into pieces or to crush. So she no doubt has some physical pain she was encountering. These two boys were struggling on the inside of her. She probably didn't even know she had twins or two. She knew she was pregnant, but then there was a struggle there. In her situation, she pleaded unto the Lord. Notice this in verse number 22. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? This is important. Basically, Rebecca is saying this: if I have truly conceived a child and he is the promised seed, why am I struggling? Why is there this physical pain on the inside of me? If this is truly God, a promise of yours unfolding, then why is there a struggle? And the answer to that question is, there's always a struggle when God's doing something. There's always going to be a battle when God wants to do something. Struggling and a little bit of pain is part of the process. Rebecca's purpose was coupled with pain. With pain. You don't have to turn there, but I'll give it to you. Notice what the Lord says in Acts 9:16 about Paul to Ananias. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. There's suffering involved. There's pain involved. No doubt, Rebecca, she was getting ready to give birth, and she's just thinking, Lord, if I'm having this great and glorious child, why so much pain? I want you to get that this morning. Just because God may be doing something, that doesn't mean pain is not involved. It doesn't mean pain's not involved. You may be here and you may want better things for your life. You've been seeking God for other things, and this is struggle after struggle after struggle. Listen, as long as you're going about it the right way, let the struggles come, because it's part of the process. You know the story. You know the illustration I love to use about the caterpillar developing into a butterfly. You know, first there's a larva, and then which turns into a caterpillar. And that caterpillar, it winds itself up into a cocoon. And it's dark in that cocoon. And so that caterpillar on the inside of him, he's thinking, well, you know, There has to be something more to life than being stuck in the dark. So it begins to push. There's something in the DNA of the caterpillar that just can't stay the same. It begins to push, and it begins to move and rock and get some momentum. It just can't stop in the dark. There's got to be something better, it says. So eventually one day an arm goes out and there's a wing. Another arm. A wing. And so it gets out and it flies. You see, there was part of that flying process. There had to be a transformation. I like what Romans 12, 1 and 2 says. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then he says in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Transformed. Same word, metamorphosis. Be ye transformed, listen to this, by the renewing of your mind. You know another word for renewing there is renovating, or to renovate. Right now, Brother Allen, I am stuck on Hometown, on HGTV, Home Garden, whatever. I don't know what it is. And in the downtimes I get, I'm watching Ben and Aaron, Ben and Aaron, Ben and Aaron, Ben and Aaron, Ben and Aaron. I don't know. I'm laughing over little stuff that's probably not funny to nobody else. I'm just finding enjoyment in it. But they find these homes and they renovate them. course, the people have a budget, and then they totally just, they go in there and they gut it. They put down new floors, sometimes new sheetrock, kitchens, things like that. And they tell the homeowners at the very end, this is your house. And oh, wow, I love it. A couple times some of the men even cried. Hey, it really has to be deep and touching for that. But there was a renovation there. A renovation. And listen, I have been saved long enough to know this, that God is not in a hurry. God's not in a hurry. And I think the reason why God's not in a hurry, and I say that in the context of what I'm about to say, is because he's coming from a perception and perspective of eternity. All we see is right here when we're down here. Right here, right here, right here, right here, right here. God knows the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. And so the idea is for us to just trust the Lord and His process. That's what James says in James chapter number 1. Talks about letting patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So back to our story. It was Rebecca's pleading here in verse number 22. She says, if it be so, why am I thus? Oh, there's been times in my life, God, I thought I was following you, and I thought that, Lord, I didn't think that in the pastorate there would be problems. Wow. Why would I think otherwise? Why would I think not? And so there's been times in my life where I've had to work through things. And listen, the first church we were at, Zion View, and then Pleasant Hill, we were there as the associate. And then, of course, we just filled in the pulpit, the pastorate temporarily until they found somebody. And now here, I've had some years of ministry under my belt before I even got here. And so I know it's a process. And I know that God is in the business of teaching His children things. I like what David says. He says that God has taught my hands to war and my fingers to fight. God this morning is teaching you how to conduct yourself. God is teaching you how to trust the process. And the same thing we have here with Rebecca. She says, Lord, if it be so, why am I thus? The blessing is God answers. Okay? God answers. Now we have our faith will be tested. Our devotion will be tested. There's a struggle involved. But then we have Rebecca's pleading. But then number three, I want you to notice something else. God's leading. God's leading. Verse number 23, the Lord said, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Again, we're talking about the birth of the boys, this plan coming to fruition that God had. And we see God's leading here. He reveals some details about their situation. He says, first of all, there's a bigger picture involved. Verse 23 again, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb. He says, Rebecca, I want you to know that I have a plan for this. All you see is the struggle. All you feel is the struggle. But there's two nations in your womb. There's the Edomites and the Israelites. And all you feel right now are the cramps. All you feel right now are the contractions. You and I may be right where God wants us, but we think that somehow He's not hearing us. He's forsaken us. In light of the Scriptures, what it says, He won't forsake us. We may be encountering some trouble in our life. But could it be that the affliction, the trouble we're experiencing now, they are cramps because the baby's coming. Could it be when trouble comes to your life, if it's something that we didn't do to cause the trouble, of course, but could it be that we are experiencing contractions? I don't know. Maybe. And so she had cramps. She had contractions here. She had a struggle. God said, you may not see it now because you are in the thick of it, but there is a bigger picture. Church, I want to say there's a bigger picture with what's going on in your life. You may feel something now. You may feel like God is waiting. God is holding out on you. You may feel like God is being ill with you. You may feel like you've missed the Lord. And perhaps that's a good thing to do, to go back and examine and ask ourselves, am I where God wants me to be? But if it is, I say let's do what Abraham Lincoln said. Find out where God wants you to be. Put your feet there and don't move. Don't move. There's always a process here. There was a bigger purpose, but then there was big differences within her. God shed some more details. Look at the other part of that verse, verse 23. He says here, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people. And the elder shall serve the younger. He says, listen, Rebecca, you've got two people in you. One is stronger than the other. Can I say this morning, those who are saved by the grace of God, you have two people in you. You have the Holy Ghost of God, but you have the flesh. You have the old man, the old nature, the old woman, the thing that we wrestle with. And what's amazing about this story is the one that caused the most trouble during this pregnancy and life afterwards for many years, Jacob, he was the chosen one. He was the chosen one, the one that caused the most trouble. Isn't that like God? To take the least likely? The one that everybody has given up on and said there's no hope for them. Isn't that like the Lord to say to somebody, well, that's never going to happen in their life. But God got a hold of Jacob because he was a chosen one. And you see, we have two manner of people within us. We have the flesh and we have the spirit. And whichever one we lead to will dominate. If we sow to the flesh, we will of the flesh reap corruption. If we sow to the spirit, we'll reap life everlasting and everything that goes along with that. God says there's a bigger picture in your struggle, but then there's two manner of people, or there's big differences as well. Two different boys, two different complexions, two different manners of life. One was a hunter, one sod pottage, and you know the story. We may go into that in weeks to come. I kind of feel a leading so to do that. We'll see. But these boys had two different lives. God this morning is saying that there's a bigger picture to your struggle. There's big differences going on inside of you, flesh and spirit. So God leads here. He gives important details. He wants her to understand there's a bigger picture. Rebecca pleads and she has pain and she's struggling. But then, of course, Isaac, he's interceding for his wife. Maybe it took a little pain in his wife's life for Isaac to get serious with God. We ever thought about that, men? I mean, as married men, those that are married, it ought to pain our hearts to see our wives struggle if they're struggling. And the Bible says that if we are bitter toward our wives, God won't hear our prayers. I think that Isaac, he was tired of seeing his wife struggle. He got along with God. He got desperate. Things happened. We may need to get desperate in our marriages this morning. Why aren't some of these issues resolved in our lives, in our marriages? Why? Someone isn't getting desperate for God. Someone isn't. That's just the truth. You get desperate of God, He'll be found of you. This morning, we see that there was a birth of two boys. Isaac pleaded, Rebekah pleaded, and then God pleaded, told her what was going on. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you for all things. Use the message this morning to be a blessing to all that are here, those watching on Facebook, listening online. Please give liberty during this time of invitation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Invitation's open. We will get something going. You just respond to the Lord if you feel like the Lord is calling you to a decision today. Please respond. Anybody this morning?
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter.
Let's get desperate for God. About that. God has compassion. We're not perfect. God has compassion. He pitieth His children.
After thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and stayed.
I want to sing another verse while these are praying. Please come if you need to, okay?
Have thine own.
Nobody's judging. Nobody's pointing fingers.
Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow.
Anybody else?
Wash me just now, as in thy presence, humbly I bow.
Thank you, guys. That'd be enough. Still have one finishing up down here. Let me just mention a few things to you. Number one, thank you for coming this morning. God bless you. I hope you got something out of the service, is our prayer. Got a lot of people to remember in prayer, but just to call out a few, please grab a church bulletin. Leonard and Dolores Palmer, of course, Diane Ely. Jim Jr. is going through his therapy appointments. He's doing better. And Miss Connie Teague, Miss Carrie Bennett, Larry's wife. She is still coming along. She has some, I believe, a little bit of paralysis in a hand that's still not fully there. So she's trying to get better. And LC got married. That was great. Seeing the pictures. Praise the Lord for that. But many prayer requests. Again, we praise the Lord for God touching Bobby. And again, thank you, church, for showing up and helping out with the movie night. We're going to have services downstairs tonight through the month, or through the summer months, actually, every Sunday night. Just switching it up, giving a different feel. We got some special music for tonight. Calvary's Gospel Group, watch out. Watch. Please come. Listen. Sing along. It's going to be a good time tonight. Remember that. We got plenty of popcorn from last night. We have some other goodies. And two, please bring a little, you know, side with you if you think about it. Maybe something to drink or, you know, some chips or something. That way we can have plenty for everybody. Okay? All right. Pick up a church bulletin, stay up to date what's going on around here, and we will see you back this evening at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock downstairs.
No choir practice.
No choir practice today, okay? All right. Consider yourself dismissed. Go and be blessed.